Okay, hold on. I'll get off of this one. Oh, well, now you're not in my headphones. That's silly.
Well, where am I?
You're just out for the world to see.
Kind of what I do anyway. Oh, but the sound's better.
You like it better on with the AirPods.
You can't connect your AirPods to your iPad?
I don't know. Hold on.
Sure you can. That's got to be easy.
You're making this difficult. You know that.
I'm not the one who doesn't have the right device set up in the first place.
Why don't I just use my phone then? And then we don't need to... Let me in. Oh, there. Oh, you know what I should do? Here, I'll just...
Okay, so we're using the sound from one. That's fine. Without any problems or issues whatsoever.
It's going to die anyway.
Was it totally dead?
Yeah, it's at 12%, so yeah.
I'm Ross. Joining me is Kelsey Saunders of Bad Apple Brew House. I think I can still say that. And together with a very strange only 50% participation rate, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry because if I'm not mistaken, Kelsey's not actually going to try anything, right?
I don't drink. I don't drink anything.
Okay, so you need to be in charge of all the talking. Then, so normally Ian is with me. He had a he had something come up tonight, so he's not able to join us, which sucks because he was going to be my specialist in box cutter. Yes, I have had box cutter IPA before. So here's okay. The short story is Bad Apple Brewhouse is no more, but the recipe from Bad Apple Brewhouse for the box cutter IPA, one of the biggest sellers, the big seller, most popular.
Anyway. It was the biggest one.
It went to, it officially went down to the Annapolis Brewing Company, and it doesn't say it anywhere on the dang can anywhere. It really is just Bad Apple Brewing. Yeah, Annapolis Brewing right there, so I'm putting it in the Annapolis jug and whatnot. But we drove down there because Kelsey was getting a bunch of cans out to people who miss the fact that the Box Cutter IPA is no longer available. And what was, I'm going to crack the sucker open and you can talk me through that. What happened?
What happened when? Through the whole thing? Why they sure. have it?
Like, sure. If we got to kill some time. Ian's not here to make witty Britishisms.
I can speak British if you wanted.
You don't have to do it in witty Britishism, but.
I feel like it'd be way more fun if I was British. No, there was a bunch of people that reached out to try to snag some recipes. And I really don't know what made Dad land with Annapolis Brewing. I think the owner and Dad share the same kind of values and have the same kind of business thing in mind. He agreed to change absolutely nothing with the recipe. He agreed to keep the labels. He wanted to keep the labels. I think you kind of know you can't really sell box cutter if you don't have the box cutter label and the box cutter name and everything. And I do really appreciate that they stuck to their word. Like, they really could have changed something. They changed nothing, literally not one thing. I've heard it pretty much tastes exactly identical to Dad's. It might vary a little bit just depending on like their water temperature, if they match that. But I've heard that it's completely the same.
I'm not seeing it on their site. I'm trying to find a description for it, but they don't seem to have anything there.
See, their description of it is weird to me. I will say that they describe it as like a citrusy beer, whereas if I asked Dad, I was like, can you describe this beer? And he always described it as a piney citrus beer, but it had more pine-forward flavors is what he always described it as.
Oh, okay. I can actually smell that just in the in what I have poured thus far. Now, the other thing, so I'm going completely off script. This is what happens when Ian's not here to keep me on track. I am drinking the stronger one of the two first because we wanted to do the Bad Apple one just to compare that. And then, honestly, I feel a little bit bad because I was looking through the closet for something to compare it to. And I thought, well, might as well compare it to another IPA. And I thought, are there any other iconic IPAs that are from a place that closed down and then got sold to somewhere else? Not that I know of. I mean, Uncle Leo's may have gotten rid of one of their IPAs. Did I try an Uncle Leo's IPA? I can't even remember now. So I just chose. I chose one just out of the closet. And when I posted that, Serpent Brewing replied on Facebook saying, oh, man, they're really excited. They really hope that it stacks up. And I'm like, one of the reasons that I went to Serpent is because they're relatively new and we like almost all of their things. So we're hoping that it's going to be quite a good one. Look at the clarity on that one. So it's a lovely golden golden cool air, some good bubbles coming out of it. And yeah, where you mentioned a piney or a pine forward but citrusy. I do get a bit of citrus out of it, but it's not nothing but citrus. So I guess there's citrus and pine in there at the same time, but I guess it all depends. On, this is so weird because no one's... Now I feel like I have a problem because I'm just drinking alone and you're...
But you remember when we were at the tap room and you and Brittany got beer and I got a Diet Coke?
I do, yes. And then we didn't even make you drive home, but...
No, I was just sitting, shotgun.
It was a good time. I was going to say, oh man, and I can't even remember. This is usually where Ian chimes in and says something else, but now I can't even remember what I was going to say. I had something just about the fact that you were right. You have been on the show several times before, not since it is now, it's an official Drink NS Dry podcast format, but you've been here to talk about, you were here the night that we tried the Russian Imperial Stout. You were here the night I tried the Mosaic IPA for the first time, and I didn't think I was going to like that, and I ended up liking it because it was very flavorful and quite smooth, which, I mean, I'm pretty easy to please, I think, beer-wise, which is why Ian's always telling me that I score too high, where if it doesn't leave me with a really gross aftertaste, I'm great. And honestly, of all the craft beers that we've had, the Nova Scotia craft beers, this is one of the reasons why I think this is the easiest show in the world. None of it's bad. It's all... really remarkably easy to drink. Like you say craft beer to someone and someone's always got this horror story of, oh,
there's a beer for everybody. Like that you'll find a beer.
It doesn't help that I'm thirsty. I think the first time I tried this was in the Bad Apple Brewhouse location in Wolfville.
Wolfville?
Where it was either the first or the second time that I met you because you were pouring at the time. And so I must have tried it then. And I probably drank it and thought, no, I don't like IPAs. And I wasn't really reaching for much more. It tasted a little bit like a hopped up thing. And I probably did not. I wouldn't have gone back for it at the time. You probably would have said, this is our big seller. And I'm like, yeah, but do you have anything else?
Do you have anything lighter? Because Dad never made, we didn't really make light beer. Like we always had hoppy beer. Dad hated brewing things that weren't hoppy.
Well, I love the Russian Imperial Stout, but that's more dark. I learned that I like things that are more dark flavored, not the hoppy flavor.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that there is a chance that there are a few more Bad Apple favorites that are in the works of coming back.
So there is a possibility that some other recipes might get sold / given / bequeathed, I guess is probably the best way of putting it. Now, is there a good chance that most of it's going to go to Annapolis Brewing just because of having a relationship with that other brewery, or could it, you know, is it like far-flung going everywhere?
No, if and this is a big if, it happens, it's going to go to Annapolis Brewing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we will keep our eyes on the Annapolis Brewing Company. And another shout out. This is I've put my location in the Annapolis Brewing tap room here. It was really nice.
Yeah, I've never been there before, and it was big and open, and there was games and dogs and.
it was dog. The indoors was dog friendly. There were several dogs there. The second time when we went back, we brought our dog, so you probably might have enjoyed that a bit more, or sheep certainly would have. But it reminded me a lot of the Tatamagush Brewing Company because it's a very open open concept. Because sometimes you feel a little bit cramped.
Yeah.
I love anything that's got these nice, you know, give me a wooden, again, easily pleased, wooden counters and some metal pipes on the wall, and I'm sold. I'm fine. I'm great. But now and then there's this, they do something weird with the ceilings, and like they tile the ceilings and then it's echoey and it's too noisy. And it even if there's like four people in there, it feels cramped.
Yeah. No, and, I liked it there. They had a lot of merch, too. I think that they should do, like, a Bad Apple Annapolis Brewing merch. Like, intertwine it somehow.
Because then I can finally get a glass. I need my Bad Apple pint glass.
I don't have my glass.
You
I
said
you
were going to look.
I have mine. I have mine that I drink out of every night, and it's in my house. With the barrel glass. There is nothing better than that barrel glass. It fits the entire can.
Like one of these?
No. Get that. Get that out of here.
What? It's what I'm drinking the competitor in. I'm having the Bad Apple in my Annapolis Brewing glass here.
Oh, well, see, that makes sense. I could have loaned you a glass, I guess. Because I have one big one and then one barrel glass. and we don't have any more, and I can't bring myself. Like, I need them. I drink out of them every night.
Yeah, you definitely need to have them. But I would like to. Yeah, someone needs to find some hidden stash somewhere. I reached out in the Maritime Craft Brewing Facebook group because I was asking for, now that Uncle Leo's was closing down, I said, does anyone know, is there any leftover merch somewhere that they're having like a big fire sale or something? And someone, you know what the advice was? Oh, just go into Value Village. You find these all the time. And I went, no, you don't. Do you know what you I know find what? When I go into Value Village? Labatt Blue.
I think I have seen Uncle Leo's merch at like Frenchie's. Or not Frenchie's, Value Village.
I've
seen it.
If you ever do again, buy me some Uncle Leo's and find me some Bad Apple stuff. That's all I
ask. At
the end
of it, like, Dad was just like, if somebody walked in and wanted it, like, there was no selling it. It was just, here, take it. Like, just take it. It's fine.
Man, I wish I was in my glass acquiring phase when that was going on, or had I known about it. We were busy.
It was a very abrupt close. It was
there was a pandemic and stuff going on. It was...
it was like, hey, we're closed. Because there was no warning. It was, it's sold out. When's it coming back? It's not.
It ends. We're out of here at 4:30. Bye.
Yeah, it was super random. I feel like people weren't really expecting it.
The big casino lights on the outside. Well, honestly, when Uncle Leo's closed down, they gave almost maybe 6 days, 5 days notice. There was not a lot of notice there either. It wasn't kind of at the end of the season.
We didn't tell anyone. We didn't post it anywhere. It was just we just disappeared.
How long were people still showing up at the house with growlers to fill?
I think up until like a few months ago. It was really annoying. Like, as much as like I know like everybody loved it, it was like people were showing up at like midnight. They were like knocking on the door trying to get growler fills, and we're not even open. Like,
Bad Apple box cutter. I'm just gonna do a full on search here. Box cutter IPA.
I tried to see if our website was still up, but the website's taken down.
Oh, here we go. Okay, so it's on Bad Apple, the Atlantic Canada beer blog.
I did try to look that up.
A bit of... Oh, Serpent Brewing has got a new Belgian table beer. That's good. Aha! If you're tied to the beer scene in the Annapolis Valley, you might be aware Annapolis Brewing picked up some fermentation vessels from the defunct Bad Apple Brewhouse. And even said Bad Apple Brewhouse. They got it right. This is acbeerblog.ca. I love this site. I try to read this every week.
I was wondering if they were going to post about it.
It's so good. They only posted, this was maybe a couple of weeks ago. I did read this already, but I'll give you it again. You might not know, the recipe and naming rights for the box cutter are part of the deal. They've already gone ahead and put a batch together. Ensuring same brew coming in at 6.9. Expect a resinous hop character with notes of pine and citrus paired with a balancing malt backbone. Fans of this beer were sad to see it disappear. You could expect to have it appear in beer bars. So there you are again with the pine and citrus. Yeah. And yes, and they do mix. So it is a pine and a citrus. It's not overly citrusy or like fruity. We were having like juicy IPAs or something last week. They're tropical.
Yeah, and I know like with our Mosaic, like the Mosaic is super citrusy. Like, it smells citrusy. And so we were at the tap room and I read the description. Well, first off, they got our name wrong.
Did they say Bad Apple Brewery or what is it?
Said Bad Apple Brewing
Company?
Bad Apple Brewing, which is the place in Ontario.
Yeah.
But whatever, that's like, who cares? But I was just like, that description just seems so wrong. And it's like, I felt like I wanted to go up and say something, but I'm like, it's not really my place. Like, it's not my beer anymore. Like, it is, but it isn't. So I didn't know what to do.
Where does, yeah, there's the BAB. I wonder if the one in Ontario does the BAB as well in that kind of way.
No, probably theirs not. Is, their logo's, I think it's just an apple or something.
An apple getting a test wrong or something like that? Maybe backing a...
Can't remember.
Backing a car into a parking meter.
I think it's like a rotten apple or something.
Oh, different kind of poorly behaving apple.
They do beer too, I think. I don't remember.
Well, I should have. Oh, because they were a cidery for Bad Apple.
Yeah.
That makes a bit of sense. Holy cow. A little gassy. So talk me through. You are the... What is like the equivalent of a showrunner for this, for kind of the... Bad Apple Brewhouse now, or now it doesn't make sense because it didn't come to you. I mean, Jeff didn't die and like leave it to you in his will or something like that. But you seem to be kind of the person who is the go-to. You're the face, the name, the legal. What I don't understand.
I took it over because I absolutely hated the way Dad was advertising. His pictures looked awful. His advertising sucked. He didn't want to advertise. He just was a firm believer in his beer speaks for himself. And I was like, okay, right. But this is like the 21st century. Like, get with it. You got to get on Instagram here, sir. So I just started taking it over. And he just was really bad at responding to people's messages and emails and text messages. So then I didn't even ask him. I just started answering them. And then I just started taking it over. And that was that.
Okay.
He just let it happen.
So it's more of like a spiritual ownership than...
I have no ownership rights to it, but it's my baby.
It's your thing.
It's my thing. It's my baby.
That's fair.
I think I really started to like it more when some stranger on the internet basically told me I had the same attitude as my dad and then started calling me the Bad Apple Princess. And then that's when I took the name because I was like, that's kind of funny.
That's right.
Yeah. And then I started caring after that.
Yeah, that's nothing bad ever comes from being approached by a stranger on the internet. So, well, no.
And if I reached out to that person like a few years ago, I think it was like right before we closed. And I was like, do you even remember this like little Twitter war we had? They were like, no, like, I don't even remember you. I was like, oh, you gave me my name. And I remember
Do they have a billion followers or anything?
Yeah, they have a lot of followers, actually. They're pretty funny. They're a pretty funny account.
Why did that sound different all of a sudden? I don't know. So there's nothing written on the can for this one either, but I am going to leave a tiny little bit just to compare it at the tail end. But I can't compare it to the original box cutter because I don't remember what the original box cutter really tasted like. So to be superficial, we'll probably hear back from, chances are I might hear a comment or two or something from Ian, because Ian always says he drank a lot of this. I actually don't even remember what I drank when I came into...
I'm pretty sure you drank our New England IPA when we had it.
Okay.
The citronella. Do you remember the citronella?
No.
I thought you had the citronella or you had the blackcurrant goza.
I have had the blackcurrant goza since then, and I recall not liking that one. See, this is the thing. The main reason... And the bonus of doing this show thing is I seem to retain my knowledge, or not knowledge, but retain my opinions on things if I have them recorded somewhere, anywhere.
And yeah.
This is the equivalent of me putting a Post-it on the fridge. I just do a live internet show.
Me, I remember nothing. Nothing.
Well, I didn't, but no, you just gotta do live shows all the time, and then stuff will get remembered on your behalf. So
I was gonna share this on Facebook. I'm coming back.
I think it's good for especially for an IPA. And again, I am not an IPA lover, but yeah. As an IPA, it's got a very smooth finish on the back end. It does not overpower you with the hoppiness or any kind of bitterness on there. Oh, right. And they don't really do much of a... Ooh, okay. No, there it is. It's definitely a drinkable beer. I might have more of that. But for an IPA, I'd say that's definitely up there. It's got to be one of the better tasting ones I've had. It's just, you know, nicely in there. So, what do I say? Like an 8 and 8.5? 8.5 out of 10. Let's try for that. Oh my God, they've got so many. Well, that's a different. They have more than one New England IPA. They have so many beers on the Serpent Brewing here. Oh, we did try the Jurassic Jesus. That was pretty funny. I think I love all of their naming structures. Ah, here we go. Oh, no, it doesn't actually say. Serpent Brewing. That's on Untappd. Doesn't say. It says it's hazy. It's about the only thing that I can get out of this one. Sometimes I wish a lot of these breweries would answer my emails, and then they could come on and tell me why they don't have descriptions on their websites.
It's weird that they don't have them on the website. I think we always did, but like Dad's description of things were so funny. Like if he didn't really like the beer, like there was one, the Honey Wagon, that for some reason you either loved it or you didn't like it.
I loved the Honey Wagon, but I like mead, so that's
Dad's description of the Honey Wagon on the website was literally like, quote, a plain ass beer. That was it.
I think I recall that because they were written down. He hated it. I liked it. I thought it was fine. This one, you can tell in the smell. So it's, yeah, it's definitely hazier. It's not quite as clear as the box cutter. I thought it smelled stronger out of the can. Not
what does even, the can look like?
The can is, now what I love about Serpent Brewery, so they're out in Spryfield. So they have a lot of town city references, HRM references. So I think this is supposed to be the towny overpass. So honestly, I think this might be one of the overpasses, like Dunbrack Street going over the St. Margaret's Bay Road. But I might just be biased because that's the one that I drove through my whole upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
But they had, what were some of the other ones? Their names were really good. They had a Spryfield something or other. Now I'm completely forgetting all of the really good Serpent Brewing titles and beer names that they had. So it's not clearing up. It remaineth hazy. Let's get it to you. Oh yeah.
I think New England's, aren't they typically hazy beers anyway? They're usually cloudy, I think, aren't they?
Honestly, I'm not too knowledgeable of the difference between like your IPA, and most of the IPAs that we get here are East Coast IPAs.
Yeah.
That's kind of the unwritten word. But then a New England IPA, I've had a couple of these and thought to myself, ooh, that's much more drinkable. So I find they're a little less harsh on a bitterness scale. There's another thing is it's not showing, some of these cans have not been showing a lot of IBUs recently, but where you're talking about words on the website and a plain ass beer, have you ever had a look at Two Crows?
Yeah.
Every one of them is three words. You only get three words and that's it. There's none of this description of this, like a boxing rock. Yeah. They've got a paragraph and a half about this. Oh, the old ancient fishermen used to do this. And so this is an homage to, I love overly descriptive things like that because I like knowing what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
And the one that Two Crows seem to go with, I think crisp is on most of their cans. It's a crisp, juicy, refreshing. I'm like, well, two of those things are pretty much the same word.
The
so
same thing.
What are you telling me here? Which beer?
I love the logos that Two Crows has. Like their cans always look so good.
They are nicely designed, yes. And
then I see other ones and I'm like, what the heck are you guys doing?
That's why I was so sad to not like Two Crows, because I love their can design, but I don't really like their beers all that much, because they do a lot of sours and really funky lagers and things.
I like their logo.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm so, like, damn, that's a good one.
You're probably referring to, I wouldn't say boring, but say a Propeller or Tatamagouche are probably the ones, my go-tos for, here is a can. It's got the orange on the top for the Tatamagouche. It's got the black on the top and the Propeller logo for Propeller. And then right at the bottom, it says, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. And usually they're named very basic thing. Like Tatamagouche at least has things like, oh, here's the rust. No, not, they don't do the rusty tread. The Butcher Block Red.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Propeller is just double IPA. IPA. Mm-hmm. Pilsner. It's, this is it. So it seems like everything is named and designed by an accountant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's delicious beer, but a little boring. Good Robot. They go out to lunch with designs. They're all over the place, and it's a lot more fun. And Serpent Brewing is doing kind of the same thing, but they all do have their serpent with this funny little sort of an Irish, what was it, like a Celtic knot-looking type thing. But I think, oh, no, wait. It's a Celtic knot, but within the Celtic knot, spinning within the Celtic knot, is the snake eating its own tail.
Oh, yum.
So the serpent. And I forget what that represents. It's something about never-ending life or serpent eating its own tail. You must know this. Nothing. Blank look, blank stare. Cool.
I didn't do my homework before this.
This smelleth now I'm getting the juiciness. Now it is getting a little bit more tropical, and I'm hoping so. It's like this kind of haze to it. It should just be a grapefruit juice, and I'm hoping it's just going to be a nice, smooth, juicy IPA.
Smooth. Chug.
It still feels weird.
I know. I was going to go grab a glass so that it didn't look so weird when you were drinking, but.
Ooh.
Well, what's going on?
That's an interesting flavor that I wasn't expecting. It almost something almost a little bit strange is going on in the water table where there's almost a smoky flavor to it right in the middle. That is not what I was expecting, but it could be that just because the flavor, like it's not a punch you in the face kind of very obvious flavor. It's a more subtle hopped flavor and even juiciness to it, but which is strange. Smell wise, it smells just as strongly as the box cutter. They are about on par, but the taste of it, the Towny Overpass from Serpent, is less flavorful. Serpent, I have not been into this establishment. I think Ian bought these. Ian goes down and bought some at Serpente Brewing. I would almost say that this has been in the cupboard too long, but it hasn't been in the cupboard that long.
Mm-hmm. When'd you get it?
This spring. So honestly, less than 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there we go. It's smoothing out now.
I wonder if it just takes just a couple been, of like.
Might have just been something on the top. But it's. I don't know what it is. When I get a hazy one like this, I expect it to have that little tropical zip or additional flavor, where it's a muted IPA flavor. But with a very hazy one like this, I would not expect that.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to drink. Well, this is a 6.3 as opposed to a 6.9. Honestly, had I put these in the order that we usually do them in, drinking the 6.3 first, I probably would have really loved this. But now that I've had the very strong box cutter, I'm sort of, yo, dog, where the flavor at? Because
having two completely different beers to even compare them to.
It's true. And I don't know. Yeah.
I'm not even sure what IPA you could compare like ours with. Like, I don't even know who you would.
Because it's such a wide range of things. I've got stuff in there. I can't wait to try. I've got a couple of black IPAs, which are a much darker, much more malt forward.
Thing. We did that once, I think. Once
didn't
or twice.
Bring one of those out, but then there's some more tropical IPAs, and then there's some hazy ones. There's a couple of New England ones. I've got what's the other? There's a Brute IPA, whatever that is.
A brute? I'm not sure.
But
I've heard
also,
of it.
It was also from Annapolis. Oh, you know what? Maybe I should have compared two Annapolis Brewing Company IPAs. That would have been kind of fun. Because then you compare what they do on their own to what they do when they're given a recipe.
That would have been fun.
Hindsight is 20/20, but I am glad. I love to get into some of these Serpent ones. This is a 6.3 is no slouch, and this is a sessionable 6.3. It is quite easy to drink. Something happened at that very beginning where I caught something that almost tasted like a. Must be a better word for smoker. Earthy or peaty, the very earthy, smoky flavor, but only on a tiny amount of it, and then it went immediately away. But I do like this. Now I'm not sure if they had. Well, yeah. According to on their site, they've got even more than one New England IPA. And some other IPAs as well, so I'm not sure what this would compare to. Drinking the box cutter, it reminds me of a thing that we do usually, which is having an IPA night, where we just try to get through like four or five at once. And the box cutter seems a bit more, It reminds me of like the Boxing Rock IPA that we tried, or the, oh, what was the other one? The Nine Locks IPA that we tried. And a lot of them were very similar in flavor, very, they were flavor forward, but not over flavored. So it was just, mm-hmm. it was the right kind of hit. Not being an IPA fan, I just sort of think, oh yeah, that's just kind of, meh. It's all right, but it's not my thing. I think I could drink more of these New England IPAs just because it seemed, is it like, you know, with my Dutch pilgrim hat on, do I sort of say, I'm here, hello, I'm in New England. Welcome to New England, everyone. Would you like something that tastes very strongly? No. No, I would like some clam chowder and have it barely taste of salt. There you are. And it's, is New England just a euphemism for boring? Not to say this is boring. It's just not as, I don't even say complicated, because it's complicated. There's some flavors going on in there, but the merge of all the flavors is so smooth that it comes out almost forgettable. I don't know how to say something is too smooth, because 3/4 of the way through enjoying a mouthful of this, it disappears.
I was trying to look up what a New England style IPA actually is. It says a heavily dried hop to the point of being hazy, has a fuller body, smoother flavor, and less perceived bitterness than typical IPAs.
Okay, so it's a smooth out. You know, here is the taste of an IPA, but we've brought it down a little bit. It's the mashed potatoes. You know, it's the vanilla ice cream of IPAs. This is just, hey, we've softened it for you a little. This is, and the first time I had a New England IPA, and I think I had the New England IPA out of Heritage Brewing. They've got some Viking New England IPA or something like that. So I thought it was New England. The NE IPA, I thought it was for, you know, Norwegian. I thought it was some acronym for North Atlantic, I think, is what I was calling it for a bit, because I forgot how you spell, you know, the Atlantic Ocean with an E. But I found it incredibly smooth to drink and much less hoppy for the sake of hoppy. Now, mm-hmm. the box cutter is still smooth, but it obviously has that more flavor, that upper mm-hmm. level of flavor. So where this one hazes things up, brings, I don't want to say brings down the flavor, it just mutes it a little, makes it mm-hmm. tolerable, and says, here, you can have this without feeling like you've had a hugely hopped up experience. The bitter is yeah. still there. The juice, the hazy, the tropical, the fruitiness is still there. It's just, and for if that's what a New England IPA is, then yeah, bang on the money.
Makes sense.
I think that Annapolis Brewing, and like you say, if they are making the Bad Apple Box Cutter IPA with no changes, and it's coming out, and sadly, I was hoping to have someone who would say, yes, this tastes exactly what it tasted like before when I used to have this all the time. I was hoping to have that, but mm-hmm. we can't. So the best we can do is, that's pretty darn good. Now, and did you get any feedback when you, because you bought 12?
Yeah, so the feedback that I got is, it's bang on, and it's exactly the same. I had somebody say it's almost the same, but there's something that's just like not the same. And so I asked Dad, and he's like, the only thing that he could see that wouldn't be the same is just the water temperature.
Mm. Or the water itself that could be, yeah, to be making yeah. it with water. Let's see, Somerset to Annapolis Royal. Yeah. Yeah. It could still be a different.
I mean, Annapolis Royal, like my grandparents live there and their water's disgusting. Like it tastes awful. It's bad.
Yum.
Hey.
Better have more of this. Ooh, I hope they're using Annapolis Royal. Yeah. Thanks, Annapolis Royal, for your gross ass water.
Your gross water. And then, like, the water at home, it was just in the well in the yard. Like, it's well water.
I like my well water. My house runs on well water, and it's delicious.
It is mine. I love it.
And then this, I mean, I didn't think when someone said, "Oh, they've got a brewery and it's in Spryfield," and I went, "Come on, you can't have a brewery in Spryfield. That's just how okay. What are you gonna call it? You know, Bullet Hole Black IPA and."
That's a pretty good one. You should sell that to them.
Nope. I will not recommend that they live in the crime capital of HRM.
It would be funny, though. Like, you can't tell me it wouldn't be funny for them to come up with that.
Well, you can't even see it. You can't.
You can't even joke about it. Like,
you can't say most of the things because they're actually kind of closet racist. For example, do you know what goes through... probably this happens a lot in Spryfield is what your rusted out Pontiac G6 with a soup can muffler and yet the rest of the car is just absolutely falling apart and the whole thing smells like an ashtray. You know, what is that? There needs to be a word for the the kid who has more money than sense, but is still flat broke. You know, that kid who's a super car enthusiast. And we used to, I don't even know how to say this. We used to call them ricers.
Yeah.
You'd have your rice mobile, which is a derogatory euphemism for anyone of Asian descent who is, you know, akin to eating more rice than other things, because it was, they thought that if you were hear me out on this one. The thought was, if you were tricking out or attempting to trick out your car, that's what the dudes in you know, Tokyo do. That's Tokyo Drift right there. So that's what the Japanese do. So you're ricing up your car. So getting full on racism there. But then the problem was is that these are useless rural Nova Scotians with no money whatsoever and no taste. And have no idea what good... Well, they probably know what a good thing to go on a car would be, but the problem is that costs $5,000, and they have 70 bucks. So what is the most $70 budget performance upgrade can I make to my rusted-out Volkswagen Golf? And you go into the shop, and sorry, but it might be in Spryfield... And you get that added to your car, and then this rusty VW Golf with two back doors the wrong color goes tearing by, and it's not even impressive. Maybe, you know, this might be me with my old man hat on, but it's just sad to hear them go by. I was driving my daughter somewhere yesterday. Do you know what happened yesterday? I think I got passed on the highway by a Ferrari. Whenever that happens, I say to my daughter, look, right there, that's a Ferrari. Look at that going by. She says, oh, yeah. She said, and how much does that cost? And I said, more than our house. But that is an impressive car. That is a feat of Italian engineering from this company off, and they make high-end cars that cost a lot, and if these rural hicks could afford it, that's what they wish they were driving. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they can't get past the delusions of grandeur that I want to be driving a Ferrari. And my brain says, I can't afford a Ferrari, so I'm going to give up. But another person says, I can't afford a Ferrari, so I'm going to put a $75 soup can on my Honda Civic. And somehow that fixes things in that equates in their brain. And I don't quite get the matchup yet. Regardless, I'm not saying Spryfield is the capital of these really terrible redneck car aficionado solutions, because I'm fairly certain it's just province-wide, maybe even nationwide. But I'm sure they you could definitely name a few beers after some loud, gross redneck cars.
Mm-hmm.
What would you call it? Did you have any input on the beers from Bad Apple?
No. Well, no. was allowed to do more cider stuff. Dad was his own thing with beer. Then we started getting into cider, and cider was way more fun because there are no rules to cider. You just do whatever the hell you want. And I was supposed to get my own cider, and I'm so sad. We had it all planned out. I had a whole can, the logo, literally everything.
Was that the bubblegum mix?
No, it was peach, and I was calling it it was my Princess Peach cider for Bad Apple Princess, and it worked, and everything was great. And we literally had a trial run of it. Like, I had a whole keg of it, and it was so good. It reminded me of, like, that peach drink from Tim Hortons. Like, it was It was so good. And Dad's rule was, like, he was like, okay, well, if you want this done and you want it to be big, you have to pit the peaches yourself. Like, you have to pit all of them. And then... and then it was like, surprise, we're closing. And then I never got it. So I was like, okay.
And you're standing there over a pit of pitted peaches saying, I'm 100,000 in. What?
I was so sad. Like, that was going to be my, like, rise to fame. That was putting me on the map.
I've got a peach beer in there from Garrison currently. And I think there's a peach sour available. I was going to have peach night at some point.
A peachy night.
We might do that still. We'll see.
That was supposed to be mine, but Dad was pretty, like, he was pretty adamant about his own names and the beers he was brewing. Like, he didn't really let me in on the new stuff he was brewing until it was already made.
I thought you would have had some input on the Mosaic move. That was all him?
That was all him. And if I'm being honest, the whole Mosaic thing, to me, the way it came about was that was Dad's way of accepting Hunter in a way. So, like, when we first found out about Hunter, obviously everyone's upset. Nobody says, yes, my kid has special needs. Like, it's just not what you do. You're upset, and it's so normal. And I remember Dad was, like, kind of weird about it for the longest time. And then all of a sudden he was like, I'm going to do this. And then we were like, okay. And then it was a whole big thing where it was a whole charity beer, and he donated all the money to Camp Brigadoon, and he did want to do an autism beer too, but he never got the chance to do it. But I had nothing to do with it.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Perfectly straight lines Pilsner.
I don't know, because the thing with the Mosaic is, like, Hunter has Mosaic Down syndrome, and then we used Mosaic hops, so we literally just called it Mosaic Double IPA. Like, there's no special name. Our logo's not on that can. Our name is not on that can. He found nothing anywhere about us on here. He just wanted it to just be that.
There was a ribbon on one side. And I think it was the
butterfly, mosaic. The ribbon, and a footprint. Because people with Down syndrome have the whole thing. Their feet are different. So you put a footprint on it.
And we talked about this in the episode of, before we were a podcast.
It was way back.
Way back. Oh my God, that was 2 years ago. I've been drinking beer for no reason for a long ass time. So, not to put you on the spot, but because you would occasionally have a beverage at the tap room, and then said, you know what, don't need to do that anymore. Just conscious decision.
Do you know what? It's
I'm not trying to. You don't need to. Don't need to tell your life story.
It's not even my life story. It's just seeing how a lot, most, if not all, breweries have some type of drinking problem. So it was just like, well, why wouldn't you? You're literally going to sell your product. You're drinking here. You're drinking there. It was a lot. So watching it, I just, once it was done, I just was like, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay.
My thing was, is I always drank with Brittany on Apple Blossom. Well, you went and got her pregnant. She had a baby, and I'm by myself, and now I just don't want to.
Oh, it's all my fault. Okay, I get it. Well, she was never really a beer drinker. I think she enjoyed the first time I met her, she was drinking the blueberry ale from Patty's. And then she thought she wanted to get into cider, and she tried to get into cider, but it was too acidic. It was affecting her stomach. She was like, I can't drink too much of this. And now, recently, she started finding this popularity. A sway. Some of the craft beers are making a lot of sours, and she started finding these sour beers, and she really likes them. But I can't remember if you tried the sour that she was trying in when
we went. I had a sip of the one at Annapolis, and I could have easily sat down and drank it. Like, easily. Like, I could have had that as a drink. It was really, really good.
Maybe you're a sour beer drinker like my wife and my good friend Tom.
Well, it makes sense. You know, I liked the sour that we made. It was just like, I shouldn't say I like sours. I can tolerate them to drink them.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to sit down and have two double IPAs in a row.
Oh my God. I tried the Church Brewing sour though, and I did not like that.
Oh, what was theirs? That
salt water. No. I can't remember. But
oh, man, if they made a saltwater taffy sour, I would drink that. We've got a few. There's been a couple that I liked. I don't really like the style, but sometimes there's one, and it's basically just saying, here is a delicious juice, and it's not that sour. I think, oh, okay. Like, for example, two of my favorite beers on the sweeter end of things. You know, I like the malty dark ones. I've got a smoke beer in there. I've got the, you know, I'm coveting my stash of Uncle Leo's smoked porter because it's amazing. Tastes like a campfire. But on the other end of the spectrum, two of my favorites in the province are sweeter beers. The Southbound Lemon Radler out of right here, Wayfarers. So good. So good. I think you'd like it. And the only thing I can compare that to, Sea Level's Blueberry Pale Ale is a blueberry ale that it's just, it's juice. It's so tasty. What bothers me a lot is when a beer will say, here, try this. It's a pineapple ale. And you think, well, this better taste like
pineapple.
Taste like pineapple, right?
Yeah.
And then when you drink it and it says, this is a Budweiser with like a hint of pineapple in it. And you're like, if you tell me that this beer is flavored a certain way, it had better be 80% or more. It had better really, you know,
and
hit hard.
I'd like to know these weird flavors that people come up with. Like, didn't you try a... What was it I watched? It was like a Donair beer or something.
Oh, man.
And all I could think about was, I don't remember what brewery did this. They did this like donut beer and they physically, I watched the pictures. They put donuts in the beer and Dad was just like shaking his head. He's like, you don't need to put donuts to get a donut flavor. Like, you don't need, like, this is all for show. He's like, it's such bullshit. Like, Do the science behind it. Make the flavor happen. Don't throw donuts in. Like, he's like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, he was so worked up about this donut beer.
I've never had the donut one. The Donair one was crazy because it didn't taste like a Donair. It tasted like all the things that go with a Donair. It tasted like pita bread. It was pita bread.
Pita was in there, and I was like, I can. They probably did like what the donut people did, and threw a whole pack of pitas in. Like,
but I didn't realize that was a thing, throwing stuff in, until a few years ago. The first time I had at Sober Island, they do Beth's Black, which is they call it an oyster stout, and I went, what? And literally on the can it says, when we're making this stout, at the tail end we chuck in a batch of oysters, shells, meat, everything. Ew. And so you're drinking this stout and it's sort of, this tastes a little fishy and not like a suspicious fishy, just actual fish.
It's weird.
It's still pretty it's really good. Yeah,
weird. That seems so weird. I feel like everyone's trying so hard to do something new and different, but they're losing the style of beer.
See, you say that, but we were talking to one of the brewers, I forget who, I think it was Steve from Church Brewing, and he is of the opinion, this is just in the last 6 months, when did we talk to him? Only 2-3 months ago. He is of the opinion that the craft brew industry market in Nova Scotia has exploded so well in the last 10 years that drinkers, beer enthusiasts are getting smarter and more appreciative of things that are, yes, this is, yes, I will try this. This is a more robust flavor. So it's going away from the, you know, early on it was kind of a, here is a beer that tastes, it's just Keith's, but times 10. And you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And now people are coming around to an amber or a brown ale. And it's sort of, here is just, it's a beer flavor, but it's a bit more robust and it's still smooth. Everything still, to me, tastes super smooth on the back end, but people are just getting a little bit where it's not just trying to shock your parents anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It's now kind of, I can have my own personality and I can like things and I can find my own artistic style. Where at the very beginning of craft beer, it's kind of, oh man, I'm going to have 8 million pounds of hops in here. And then it's the same as shocking your parents. I'm going to wear a leather jacket and spike my hair and get, you know, 6 eyebrow rings just for that reaction, where it's not necessary because it might not be your personality. You're just trying to get noticed.
Yeah. And there's so many breweries now. It's insane. I remember when we first started, we were in the paper and it was like the smallest microbrewery in NS. And it was like, it was a big deal. And then over the years, I swear to God, there's a new brewery on every single corner. There's a new one popping up all the time.
What cracks me up is where you can't even be a small brewery. And now Smokehouse blew that out of the water and said, we're a nano brewery. I mean, oh. That's a really small, where you can't be a microbrewery. Now we're even smaller than that. And then the first thing they did, you know, with a little bit of success, they've opened a second location. And I'm saying, are you still a nano?
Yeah, they're not a nano brewery when you're brewing 30 different beers out. Like,
and they've got a lot. And it's good. There's some tasty stuff in there. What did we have? We had a, I enjoyed their ESB. Oh, I'm drawing a blank on some of the other things that they did. Ah, we'll get there.
Where's their second location?
They're trying to open one. I think it's in the city. I forget specifically where. It might be in Sackville.
I feel like I'm not in with the beer scene anymore since I don't know what's going on anymore.
I
feel out of the loop.
I came to the conclusion that I didn't know anything. And then at one point I started this and I turned this kind of Facebook show into a podcast thing. And I thought, okay, now I'm slightly legit. I should probably reach out and start talking to the different breweries because I've come to the conclusion that I don't know anything about beer. So we've been talking slowly to more and more professionals and learning all sorts of cool, awesome, great stuff about everywhere and just getting a little bit. And honestly, that AC, the Atlantic Canada beer blog has, yeah. I don't know where they get their information, but releasing on every Friday, that guy must spend all week just emailing everyone and asking questions. Hey, you got anything new? And then turns it into that. The amount of effort that goes into that. I think
he goes like to the businesses too. I don't even know how he finds out everything. Cause I find out all my stuff through him. Like the email, I'm on that email list. I read it every Friday.
What am I brewing this week? Oh, good. That's good to know.
Oh, right. Like it's, yeah, he's on it like all the time. And that was like the other one I used to listen to. I always used to listen to 902. What was it? Brewcast?
902 Brewcast.
Brewcast.
I looked them up because I looked up, hey, are there Nova Scotia, are there craft brew podcasts? I said, yeah, here's 902 Brewcast. And I clicked on it. And then I said, this coming Friday is our last one. And I went, what?
So, but I don't know. Because Phil left. But I don't know if Kyle and Tony were still doing it or not. Because originally they were going to.
They had a thing. I subscribed to it. And then they said, this Friday is our last one. And then 2 weeks after that, we turned ours into a podcast. So we are now... Yeah. We are now the only podcast. And what I need to do is I'm hoping to talk to those guys. And I also want to talk to the Atlantic Canada beer blog guy. And I would love to have like everybody on this show because the simple fact that I have learned is that everybody loves to talk and everyone who likes craft beer loves to talk about craft beer. So it's just the easiest job in the world to sit around and have a conversation about Nova Scotia craft beer.
Mm-hmm. And like, even like when dad comes home, you can even have a conversation with him. That man's filled with useless knowledge. Filled with it.
His name came up. We were talking to Keith from Old Biddies, and he was mentioning the Brew Nosers, this group that that mm-hmm. apparently Jeff was quite involved in, even maybe not the creation of, but certainly the early days of and the expansion of. So, yeah, his name's been tossed around once or twice at least.
Honestly, in the beer world, you either love my dad or you absolutely can't stand him. It See? Is one or the other, because he is an asshole and he would always call people out on their bullshit. And if you're doing something and this and that, he would just call you out on it. So you either cannot stand him but respect his beer, or you really like him. Like, you, it's one or the other.
He made my Russian Imperial Stout, which is still the only one to ever get an 11 out of 10 around here.
And will that one come back?
I can't dislike him because he made that. Yeah. So no matter what, I will hold up an umbrella for him in the rain, no matter what.
Because he brings it back.
No, doesn't even have to. Honestly, the three or four times lifetime that I have drank that beer, oh no, he gets my devotion for life. Yeah. To those tastings. That thing was out of this world.
It would be cool if you could convince him to come on this when he is home.
Okay.
I'm sure you could, but he won't do it without me because he's very shy, which is super weird because he's not shy in person.
I have an in because my illustrious British co-host, Ian, with the very smooth-talking accent, he is apparently on first name terms with him. So I think we could, between all of us, I think we'd definitely get him on here. I don't know what the heck we'd talk about or what we'd drink.
You could talk about anything, but he's not drinking either. So he would be like me, not drinking.
This didn't go as awkwardly as I thought it would. And I think the secret ingredient is I have no dignity or pride. So it doesn't matter to me that I'm drinking and you're not.
I will say, though, Dad's been like super pumped, like seeing everyone's like posts, like everyone's posting that they've got box cutter and this and that. And I remember the lady at the tap room told me that it like blew up down there. Like, people were driving from the city to come down and people were driving from all over to get this beer.
That is nice.
And he was like cheering up. Like, he's like, this beer is my legacy. Like, this is who I am. And it just, shit happens. COVID happened and we didn't have a restaurant attached to our business and it just killed us. Like, we just couldn't survive it. And especially with all the competition out there, but like, he was like tearing up and he just was so happy to see all these people posting about his beer again. Like, he loved it. And he was like, and he did mention that he kind of liked the fact that he's not brewing anymore. Like, he does like that, because once we got big, it took the fun out of it. It was never supposed to be a full-time job for him. He never wanted to have staff. He never wanted to be in the liquor store. He never wanted any of that. And then it just like, it blew up so fast that he didn't really have a choice. So he just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if COVID didn't happen, I know we'd still be around, still be kicking.
But would it be reluctant, I guess? Because I don't wish that on someone where you know, doesn't it get to the point of, I hate to call it the Kurt Cobain syndrome, but if your popularity becomes bigger than the effort that you want to put into it.
Yeah. He said that if he could do a do-over, he would never have gotten as big as he did. He would have kept it just in the brew house and just growlers. He wouldn't have done cans. He said canning was his big thing that he wished he never did. There's no money in canning.
When we went back down to Annapolis Brewing, we found that there was another little brewery on the, just in the area, on the maps. And it was Lazy Bear Brewing.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
And it's not on I don't think it's part of the CBANS, Craft Brewers Association of Nova Scotia. I don't know why I have to say the acronym first, but it helps. And they're there, but they're not, I don't know that they're part of the Craft Brewery Association. Mm-hmm. But here's the bit that really excited me. When I went in, and we got a couple of theirs, and there's a sour up there. Brittany and I are going to try one of those. And we got a couple of, I was like, oh, cool. And they're doing some different, well, not different, but it's just not a slew of IPAs. They've got an amber, they've got a brown, they've got a this and that, and they've got a sour. I said, oh, cool. And then I said, oh, hi, you know, do you have a business card or an email address I could approach someone, because I want to talk to all the local brewers and maybe be on a show. And they said, okay, well, actually, you're in luck, because she's out in the kitchen right now. They have a little external kitchen where they make wood-fired pizzas. We had a wood-fired pizza, but apparently the head brewer is out cooking the pizza while the other people are inside selling the beer. And I'm like, she?
I had
that little moment of, yay, I get to, my first female, like, I don't know anything. Maybe there are other female brewers in Nova Scotia, but I don't think there's many from what
I've... I don't know. There's a couple, but, like, I don't really know. I can't even tell you any off the top of my head. And I know there are some. I just don't know them. I'm excited. Yeah.
I'd love to have that conversation.
That is very cool.
Yeah, as you can tell.
Such a male-dominated industry.
Cars driving through Spryfield, I have opinions on things.
I see that.
I went, so I finished off the Towny Overpass. I had some water, and I came back to the box cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And the box cutter is definitely a sharper flavor than the New England IPA, but it remains smooth and easy to drink. So New England IPA, Towny Overpass, booyah. It's and I'm a little tricked out by that initial flavor blast, but a 8.875 to nearing to 9. How about an 8.9? How about an 8.9 for that one? For a New England IPA. That is an 8.9 New England IPA. And Box Cutter remains at the 8.5 for an IPA.
Woohoo.
Very good. For Annapolis Brewing. And then I think I've got some other.
Excited to see what they're going to do and if they're going to make anything else of ours.
What would be on the, what was the plain one?
Stearman APA.
Thank you.
So the Bad Apple Trio, I always called it the trio, was the APA, the Box Cutter, and the Mosaic Double IPA.
Yeah. I enjoy the Mosaic, and I think I drank the APA.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
then you have your smoked porter, then the Russian Imperial. You had the smoked porter before.
Did I?
I think.
Did
Tom's, I? It was called Tom's Smoked Porter. And you know what's fun? Dad always had, like, there's always a reason behind the names of the beer. So Tom's Smoked Porter was named after Tom's Little Havana in the city, which was the very first place that put us on tap. So he named a beer after them.
Oh, that's cute.
Every beer that he has a name story.
I feel like I would remember a smoked porter if it was offered to me. Maybe it wasn't. Did I? Oh, because was it one of those things where I came in the summertime and the smoked porter wasn't available in the summertime? I'm fairly certain that the Russian Imperial Stout was not available on tap at the tap room.
We had cans of it, though.
I know, but
it was on tap, though. I remember putting it on tap. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't there when you were there. I just swear you tried it. Really, it's very, very smoky. Yeah, campfire. Dad said it just tastes like campfire.
See, now I just want it all the more.
Oh, I guess I could tell you why it's called Box Cutter, since you're drinking Box Cutter.
Yes, please. Tell us all about the beer that we just had an hour ago.
I forgot about the whole naming thing. The Box Cutter, he named it Box Cutter literally because of how many boxes of hops he had to go through, and he sliced his hand open with a box cutter knife. And then he goes, haha, I'm naming it Box Cutter. And that's literally like why he named that Box Cutter.
Well, it's better than Bloody Fist IPA.
It could have been worse.
Or...
And that Stearman APA was named after Harry Morris. He has a farm in Somerset. I believe he's passed away, but he had a Stearman airplane that he always flew over Somerset and over.
And one of his fields is a runway. Brittany points that out every time we drive past it.
So I remember Dad went to him with his beer idea, and we were like, can we use your plane as the logo? Before we switched the logo, it was exactly like his. It was red, and then it had the little white line on the wing, and it was exactly like his.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
That was a cute little plane.
It was cool.
I have never enjoyed drinking two beers in front of someone who wasn't drinking at the same time as me. So
it's me though. I feel like this is normal.
I feel like it. It almost is. It almost is. But we don't have Brittany here. Although sometimes,
and I was just at your house like 2 hours ago.
It's also true. But sometimes we have conversations, and it's Brittany sometimes shuts up and just lets us go because we're chatterboxes, and she's one of those listeners.
Yeah, you know, she's always been like that. I think that's why we're like this, because I'll just talk and talk and talk and talk. And my favorite is Brittany just going, yeah.
I was thinking about it tonight, and you and Brittany are very similar to my friend Sean and I, because I never stop. I just yak. And Sean is a big listener, but he knows everything. And when he throws something back into the conversation, it both validates everything I've been yammering on about for 25 minutes and also gives me a lot more to think about, and also kind of puts me in my place at the same time. And I'm sort of like, but the thing is, on paper, Sean and I don't really belong as friends, but we've just always been friends because we've had nothing better to do.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, oh, that is like their friendship. They just haven't graduated. They haven't gone beyond not needing each other for something.
It's for something. And before Wesley, I think Brittany and I went probably like 9 months without even seeing each other.
Yeah.
I feel like we've gone that long. And now that Wesley's there, obviously I have to corrupt your baby. It's normal. Like I need to get in early. And
I mean, we're doing a pretty good job ourselves, but yeah.
I have to corrupt him, Bill. He was so cute. I just have to say, this is so off topic. Oh my God. He was so cute tonight. He wouldn't stop smiling and like, just like screaming at me, and I just was like, I love him.
When he was conscious or unconscious?
No, he was conscious. It was like 10 full minutes of just pure happy cute baby, and then he was like crazy and screaming and whatever. Yeah. But like for 10 minutes he loved his auntie. I was the best auntie
that,
in the whole
that
world.
That 10 minute window is that's what gets posted to Facebook. That's the good stuff.
I like the picture she sent you of him screaming.
She sends me those all the time. But I'm like, yeah.
It was too hot. His milk was too hot, so we couldn't do anything. I was like, what do we do? She's like, I don't know. Just wait it out. She's funny.
But yeah. So yeah. And she puts up with the like 8 or so hours of just, he's just inconsolable. And so, because it's, and now it's summer. Oh boy, does he hate summer.
Same.
He's like, why is it so hot? And I'm like, sorry, kid. We live in the Annapolis Valley. I'm so terribly sorry. But he's like, it's just why is my skin melting? What is? But in baby language, which is basically just, it's like, for 4 hours straight.
Yep, that's our Wessie.
We'll get there. But yeah, she posts the nice pictures. So. Anyway,
I know.
I feel like I've done my diligence reviewing and whatnot, drinking two beers, but no one else did. Hopefully, Ian's got two copies of these, so he's going to try these and maybe give his comments on the Box Cutter IPA, how it matches up. But apparently, we're finding out that it does match up really well. I want to thank Kelsey for being a part of this week, talking our way through the Bad Apple Brew House, and hopefully, we didn't kind of overpass or overshadow Serpent Brewing and their New England IPA Tally Overpass Syndrome too much. Next week, if I'm not mistaken, I think next week we're talking to Lund's Mill about a few of their brews on the tap. And then, who am I talking about? I should probably remember names. But we're talking to Lund's Mill next week about their beers. But thanks for tuning in this week. And we'll see you next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Good night, everyone.